Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Do Go On. It is Matt Stewart here. I'm here with, I'm here by myself actually, because I'm here actually sitting in the studio in Dave Warnicki's chair, so I feel a little bit bad, because I am, but those guys aren't here because I'm here to tell you that we've just done another live episode at the Imperial Hotel as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, which was a lot of fun, so I'm just introing that now by myself, which, geez, without them reining me in, who knows what kind of madness I could get up to here. It actually feels quite weird speaking into the mic in a room by myself. That's all right. I hosted this one this week. I was the report giver, and it was quite a bit of fun. Before we get into that, I should let you know, next week there is one final episode, or this week coming, this Sunday coming, if you're just listening to this the week it came out, at the Imperial Hotel again, and we've got a special guest, so there'll be four of us this week. I wonder if you could guess who that is. I'm a bit sick in this week's episode, and still am now, so how about hashtag pray for Matt for once? Hey, how about that? I bet I won't get that trending, because you guys don't give a fuck about me like you do about Jess, but that's okay. I'm cool with that. I've sort of resigned myself to that fact. What a sad start to the show. Sorry about that, everyone. I know you care and appreciate that. Big episode this week. Anyway, I don't know if there's anything else I need to tell you before getting into the episode. I'll check back in at the end. Thanks for listening. I love yous.
Yeah! Hello!
Hey, guys!
Hi everyone, welcome down to Do Go On Live at the Melbourne Comedy Festival week 3. How you doing?
I had not noticed there's an aircon right there.
Yeah, it's
very
cold.
Distracting. Well, everyone, thank you for respectfully leaving two rows as we do prefer.
Yes, it is Easter Sunday, so a sign of respect. Two rows.
The Father,
three.
The Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you are the Holy Spirit. Matt, how are you? You're in a jumper.
Yeah, I'm not feeling very good.
He's fine.
Is that your go-to stance when you're not feeling good? You put on a jumper.
Yeah, especially when you position me right underneath the air conditioning. I've got a cold. I told you that, and then you made me sit right underneath. Anyway, it's fine. But
I feel like it's a terribly placed air conditioner. Can anyone in the audience the hottest part, because you are red hot, by the way. Can anyone feel that air conditioning?
Stop hitting on the audience.
Oh, you can? So you should have sat in the front rows. Up the back, you can burn for all I care. Whatever. You
if
made
are,
your choice.
If there are people up the back who want to move forward, there's literally 6-7 seats at the front if you want to move. If not, totally fine.
It's the hot section up. This is where the action is at. If you really want to get in the pod.
It's like going to the...
There's a seat right here, and Dave will probably touch you if you sit there.
He will definitely touch
you. I promise not to touch you.
I make no promises. I'm also really unwell. No, I'm just hungover. I was dancing till 4 a.m.
I am sprightly. I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night. Let me hear it for sleep. Yeah, that's right. You're well rested because you know
the band's asleep in the house.
It's going to be a big Sunday. It is the long weekend in Melbourne, but comedy never sleeps. Comedy never sleeps.
Does anyone know the footy score? The Saints are on at the moment. Anyone?
They're down.
Down. Okay.
Great.
Am I.
You really could have lied just to pep him up because he is doing the report today. So you've probably just ruined the show. I don't want to put that on your shoulders.
I mean, no shoulders. Pressure. But
the Saints did that, didn't they?
Yeah, the Saints did that. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm good. Let's do it. All right. Podcast. Trivia. All right. Oh, God.
Question one. Okay. Give me a round of applause if you have heard the podcast before. This is good. Okay, front row. You're very brave, but have you heard the podcast before?
No, not once.
Never. I refuse. You have a lot of faith. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. What brought you here then? Oh, very cool.
Oh, you're her sister.
You.
Oh, very
the
good.
The cool sister. Am I right? Am I guessing
awesome.
That right?
Awesome.
I got it right. You should have seen her face. She was like, yes, she is cooler than me. I'm lame, but I'm trying, and that's why I'm here today. She said that with her eyes. All right.
You read a lot into that.
Have you just lost faith in us?
Yeah, slowly losing faith.
Give me a round of applause, Eva, like our friend at the front row. You have never heard the show before.
A few others, awesome.
Up the front, this is amazing. There's people at the back that have heard every episode 10 times.
But they feel more comfortable with their eyes closed, you know? They're on the tram
or
they're
in bed.
They
don't want us to be real people.
Yeah, they don't.
Well, sorry.
If you haven't heard the show before, I hope you at least vaguely know what it is. What happens is one of us is going to do a report on a topic.
It's me.
This week it is Matt. And some of you probably know what the topic's going to be because I imagine some of you support our Patreon, do you? That's what I'm talking about. All right.
They don't know. They know the options.
Oh, so they don't know the results. So they would have known the options because what we do is with Matt's topics, he throws them out onto Patreon and all our subscribers get to vote for the topic they'd like Matt to do. And Matt, have they chosen wisely?
Just for the people who are new to the show, a lot of it is just admin. We just sort of, a lot of explaining things that go, we'll reference ourselves a lot and then that will wrap it up soon after that. Yeah. So it is a pretty fun time if you're into admin.
Yeah.
And we are, big time.
Man. And stats.
It's a fact/admin based podcast.
Should I?
Yeah,
please.
So at the Planet Broadcasting launch, I ran into a listener named Harrison, right? And he was like, oh, there's not enough Australian topics, right? That's what he said to me is, can't we do some more Australian topics, you know? And I told him my first ever report was actually about Australian rules football, right? And he goes, yeah, but apart from that. And I was like, oh, well, my second report was about the Australian explorers, Burke and Wills. And he goes, oh, yeah, sure, apart from that. And I said, oh, I've also done episodes on Triple J's Hottest 100, Stephen Bradbury, The Wiggles, The Great Emu War. And he said, yeah, of course, but, you know, apart from that. So I said, oh, yeah, apart from that, good point. So this week, the three suggestions I took out of the hat were all Australian topics. And I put them up to the vote. And these are the topics. And I guess my question to you is, which one did they vote for? Okay.
We have to get into the mind of the listener.
Option number one, Nick Cave. Oh. Option number...
I remember... Remember one time we had a listener comment on our Facebook page and they wrote Nick Cave, meaning Nick Cage. And I thought that they were doing a hilarious joke. And they were like, sorry, I don't know who Nick Cave is. So, it was just a typo.
What a fun story, Dave. Thank you so much for sharing. Round of applause for Dave's fun story.
Thank you.
Good job, Dave.
Option number two, Steve Irwin.
Oh, okay.
AKA the Crocodile Hunter.
Right. One time, there was this comment on our Facebook page. Someone made a hilarious joke, and I thought they were saving Steve Perwin. They meant Nick Cave. Hilarious.
Dave Warnicky, everybody.
Thank you.
And option number three, Vegemite.
Oh.
Oh. The enemy of all tourists. Have you noticed how celebrities come out here? They're like, you must try Vegemite, you must. And they're always just like, eh. Eh.
Sorry, Dave. What are they like?
Eh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's my impression of all celebrities.
I think it's Vegemite's similar to the other two. You gotta grow up with them to understand them, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah, but I would say that out of the three, there's one that I think would appeal to our overseas listeners the most.
Okay.
So it's what I would have picked.
Sure.
Purely for the stats for our overseas listeners to appeal.
Yeah. There's a lot of sizzle
I don't
here,
but maybe the Patreon people don't.
You're going to say it out loud?
Are you going to tell them what you're thinking? Or?
Nick Cage. I mean, if you were asking what I'd say, Steve Irwin, I think.
Jess?
I would also say Steve Irwin.
Yes, you guys are correct. From
yes.
the 152 votes, 25 went for Nick Cave, 51 for Vegemite, and 78 for Steve Irwin. So
Steve
over
Irwin.
50%. That's maths. I'd look that up on a calculator. That's what you do on a calculator? I looked it up on... Yep. So,
I looked it up on a calculator.
Use a calculator like Google.
I'm a little sick. This topic was suggested by a couple of people. Cameron via Twitter at Cam Yabba and Callum BW on the email.
Oh, on the email.
Yeah.
They both sound like true blue Aussie patriots. Cam Yabba.
Yeah. Yabba-do, as we say here in Australia. Okay, well, I'm going to forge on. Steve Irwin was a wildlife conservationist. Good start. A zoo owner, television personality, educator, and most famously a crocodile hunter.
Oh, but I've never heard of him.
Oh, well.
You're thinking of
hang
Nick
around.
Cage.
Yeah, Nick Cage.
Stephen Robert Irwin, full name, was born to parents Lynn and Bob in Essendon, which is a suburb of Melbourne, Australia. Okay, you guys here will be fascinated to learn that. It was on the 22nd of February 1962. Essendon, as you guys will know, is the team that won the first VFL Australian Rules Football Premiership. I'm just linking it back to a past episode, right? But it's also the suburb of Melbourne that Burke and Wills camped in on the first night of the exhibition.
Okay.
It's a hotbed, Essendon.
It's a hotbed.
It's a sacred suburb of Do Go On. Steve's family were right into native Australian animals. They were bloody right into them, you know.
Are you trying to imply that there's something untoward going on between the Irwin family and these native animals?
No. They were right into them.
They were right into them.
Particularly reptiles. And Steve was actually given a 12-foot python for his sixth birthday. Sixth birthday.
Oh, Dave, it sounds like you're saying it like I do.
Sixth.
Sixth.
Dave, have a go.
Sixth. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Feels right.
Feels so right.
This is just like in the studio where I'm going to keep trying to start a sentence and...
I'm going to interrupt you constantly.
In 1970
sixth.
When...
Sorry.
Fuck. Set that one up. All right. In 1970, when Steve was still quite young, the family moved from Victoria to Queensland, where his parents founded the Biwa Reptile Park.
Biwa.
Biwa.
How do you spell Biwa?
Biwa.
Biwa.
Uh-huh. Ah. Oh.
Yeah. As a boy, Steve would head out to the Queensland outback with his old man, Bob, to help trap lizards, snakes and crocodiles to take back to their park.
Isn't Bob a good dad name?
It is a good dad name.
Is anybody's dad's name Bob?
Disappoint. Oh, all right, hang on there.
Couple of hands.
That was a pity hand. Your dad is not
Bob.
Oh,
your dad's ever not Bob. But thank you so much for having my back. Unlike the rest of you jerks. Nah.
They were quite proud of it that nearly all the reptiles in their park were captured by them by hand.
Quite proud that they'd taken some animals that were once roaming free.
Yeah.
And now inside a small container.
Yeah, they were proud of that.
I imagine that their whole zoo was inside something that could fit under Steve's bed. Like a show and tell project.
He
opens it up, there's like several hundred crocodiles inside. Many animals died. But I'll let Matt tell you about it.
Many animals died.
Another topic. Well,
at the fledgling park, There's sometimes in the studio where I'll have about four or five cracks at a word. But I don't have that luxury here today. At the fledgling park, a young Irwin became increasingly involved in the day-to-day operations, taking on jobs such as feeding the animals and also some maintenance tasks. So it is a pretty interesting report so far.
There's the admin.
But there's more. He also accompanied his dad on expeditions for the East Coast Crocodile Management Program, which was a government...
Crocodile management.
Imagine.
I'm the boss of all the crocodiles.
No, I'm imagining a business school for crocodiles. And they're all wearing ties.
That is pretty good.
It was a fun place I went in my head. I wish you all could have been there. You just can't.
It was a government-funded program intending to reduce crocodile hunting by relocating them to less populated areas. You know,
right, so to reduce crocodile hunting, and this man would grow up to be the crocodile hunter.
Oh, the irony is there, I suppose. If you look hard enough, which you did. But he took him from these populated areas to other places, such as his park. You know, less populated, only unless you're talking about tourists. And then it's quite populated. But I guess, anyway, apparently... It's my new catchphrase is anyway. Apparently, on one of these outings at age 9, Steve wrestled his first crocodile. That's a classic rite of passage.
At 9, yeah.
For an Aussie
right.
boy?
I did it at 7. Ooh. So, you know. Jess, how old were you when you were a young boy that wrestled a crocodile?
5.
Oh.
That is young.
Thank you.
You're a crocodile prodigy.
Yeah. I'm the toughest one on this podcast. I will kill both of you.
She will.
He did it by jumping on its back, right? And on one of these sources I read, it said, a technique he used many more times through his career.
Ah, jump on their back. Yeah.
Not somehow jumping on their front. Yeah. Flip them over. I'm on top of them. I am essentially humping a crocodile.
Dave.
Sorry, everyone. I went to a fun place in my head just then. I wish you could all have been there.
It's Easter Sunday. Come on.
Hey, we've got the seats of respect. We can say whatever we want.
That's true.
As Steve grew older, he continued to work with the East Coast Crocodile Management Program. Into his early 20s, Steve started to work with them on his own. And for months at a time, he would live in the bush by himself, just hanging out with crocodiles. Just months and years at a time.
Just living amongst
Just living
the
in
crops.
The bush amongst the crocodiles by himself. What a bloody character.
And sometimes he would get a little bit lonely.
Is that your face? I don't want to know. I regret asking the question.
Yes. Is that my face when I have sex with a crocodile?
Oh, with a crocodile. That's right then. That's burnt into my brain. Sorry, everybody.
So during these years spent out in the bush alone with the crocs...
Just teaching them management skills.
He learned a lot about the craft of catching crocs, one thing, which is a little bit different from other people's craft-anoons, I guess. His
Croc-anoons?
Big fans of craft. Big fans.
In 1991, at the age of 29, Steve took over the Beerwah Park from his parents.
And once again, how do you spell Beerwah?
It's beer.
Uh-huh.
B-E-E-R, beer.
Yep.
Wah.
Okay.
W-A-H.
No, I got that.
It was an important question and worth following up on.
Is that capital B?
Yes.
Well, you know.
After taking over the following year, he quickly made his mark by changing its name to the Australia Zoo, which is what it's famously known as now.
Who prefers the name Beerwah? That seems more Beerwah's Australian cooler, somehow right? than the Australian Zoo.
Cut those motherfuckers. Every week.
In 1991, he also met an American traveller named Terry Raines.
Raines? That's a great name. Raines? It's a good name. No one's on board.
No.
Rains. I'll say it more. Terry Rains. Oh, come on. That seems excessive. We should enter our show like that.
Imagine if we called the police. Someone is being murdered next door.
But we record the whole thing.
That'd be so good.
And then they're like, hey, do you guys know who called the police? We're like, nah.
You guys would have our backs, right? Oh, I don't buy that.
They would not. They'd throw us under the bus.
You're all snitches.
Anyway, Terry Rains.
So we met her in 1991 when she came to visit the zoo. Rains was an American businesswoman from Eugene, Oregon. Eugene, Oregon.
Eugene is. I've heard of that. Good, I love it.
Something about it I really love.
You guys are easily impressed with names. Rains. Eugene. Ooh, Eugene. Ooh.
That's yeah. A place, though, called Eugene.
You weren't impressed with a place called Biwa. It's doing nothing for you. It's doing nothing.
But Eugene.
Eugene, Oregon.
Nah, I don't like that.
Really does something for me. Cool. back home, Rain's father ran a trucking company where she had also worked. She was learning the skills of managing a large business. That large business being the trucking company that I just mentioned.
But not, sorry, just to clarify, not managing crocodiles.
No.
Or teaching crocodiles management.
No, not, it was just...
Interesting.
Just the truck stuff.
Not a leadership development program for young up-and-coming crocodiles. Who we see potential in.
I wish it was now, I really do.
I wish it was also.
I really do.
You've never let me down more than with this report right now.
I mean, the report doesn't like exclusively say that she only did trucking. It's possible.
Yeah, okay.
I'm willing to rule that in.
Okay, let's rule it in.
Her father ran a trucking and large crocodile management teaching university company.
Thank you.
Where she had worked, learning the skills of managing a large business, including crocodile management. And double Windsor knots on crocodiles.
Yeah, you gotta know, they got thick necks.
Do have big old necks.
I think you gotta get custom made ties.
In some ways, they're all neck. It's a long neck.
That's beautiful, Dave. In some ways, they're all neck. I'm putting that on a t shirt.
And a crocodile with a really, really long neck.
But then he's got a tie, just right at the bottom. Just above his little arms. I'm having a good time.
We know a lot about crocodiles. Long neck. Arms.
Green, I think. Matt, do go on.
No, I was enjoying that.
You weren't. Your face said, shut the fuck up, you idiots.
I was thinking about the Saints. Any updates on the... Okay, can I get... This is Jess's iPad. Can I get footy scores on this?
No.
Terry's dad often...
That was easy.
Terry's dad often brought home injured animals he found along the highways that his trucks travelled down.
Were they ever crocodiles?
Doesn't say that they weren't.
So we don't know for sure, so yes.
This has been seen to be where her passion for the animals sort of kicked off. In the 1980s, Terry started a rehab facility called Cougar Country.
It was just for old ladies who had a taste for younger men.
Yes.
Now that's an academy I want to be a part of.
We'll teach you how to get them. All right, girls. Sure leopard print and low cut.
I think it's a reality TV show. Cougar Country.
I like it.
Starring Terry Rains.
That's my future.
What, running the or being part of the Cougar Country?
Both.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm running it, I'm part of it, aren't I, dickhead?
That's why you are an entrepreneur.
That's why I understand crocodile business management. Am I far away? I feel like I'm sitting very far, but I moved forward so that I could see you better. But now I feel like I'm over here like having a good time.
It's like you're over there playing keyboard.
Anyway.
Matt's the lead singer. Please sing on.
There we go. There we go.
So at this Cougar Country thing, as well as doing the stuff that you were just saying...
you were not listening.
She was also there to re-educate and release predatory mammals such as foxes, possums, raccoons, bears, bobcats, and, of course, cougars.
Ah. elderly ladies who got lost in the wilderness.
And send them back into the wild, yeah. I don't know what the re-education involved in exactly.
What are they re-educating?
Just giving them a compass.
I think, it's weird, like saying don't be predators, but that would just be sending them out to their death, wouldn't it? So I guess it's just educating them on...
Management skills.
Management skills, yeah.
How to better manage their teams.
Self-esteem.
Self-esteem. Hey, believe in yourself,
hey.
Bobcat. I think that Bobcat was Bobcat Goldthwait as well. That was just before he went into the Police Academy franchise. Okay.
Good on you, Terry Raines.
She also worked as a vet technician.
Did she have like 100 jobs?
She was bloody busy. It said that somewhere. I read it. Real busy. A real busy body in terms of having a lot to do, which is a different meaning to the...
That face that you all just witnessed is my favourite face on this planet. It's Matt's regret face. It's so good. It's a,
We see it a lot.
So much. Now you'll be able to hear it. You know, you'll know what it is.
But not so busy that she didn't have time to pop down to Australia to check out some of our wildlife
parks.
Just
pop down.
Pop down.
Just pop down.
Pop down. She was on a little holiday. She wanted to check out some, you know, some Australian.
Some Australian.
Fauna and fauna.
You paused too long there.
Fauna.
Fauna and fauna.
Fauna.
Just to emphasise, she really likes fauna.
There it is. That's another version of the regret face. Flora.
Flora and fauna and fauna as well. She was underlining the fauna. While she was on the Sunshine Coast visiting a friend, she decided to check out Steve's park.
Are you winking at me?
That's a nervous
wink at
twitch.
Them. Wink at wink. There we go.
What do you mean by check out Steve's park?
Does Beerwa Park mean anything to you?
Oh. No.
B-E. Apparently they met while Steve was doing one of his daily croc feeding demonstrations.
Uh-huh.
A scenario straight out of a romance novel is what I've written here.
That's how I dream of meeting my future man.
Yeah, in some ways it's just a little too cliche, really.
Yeah, I know. Ugh.
It's been
yawn.
Done.
The couple got engaged 4 months later.
Oh, wow.
That's a quick... What do you call that? It's courtship. Is that what you call it?
You nailed it.
Good. And I just think that's quick, but I think that's nice as well. They knew.
They knew. When you know, you know. Mm. You know?
Has anyone known?
When you know, you know.
Anyone out there known? Oh, interesting.
Oh, okay.
It's a lonely audience we've got in today.
Ooh.
That's all right.
Lonely podcast listeners. Ooh.
Those are our people. Lonely.
We're lonely
people.
As well.
They were married in 1992 on the 4th of June, just the next year. So, you know, got it done pretty quickly. Terry left her American life behind, including her family's business, her rehab center, and her vet work. She left it all, including the crocodile management and the cougar country old lady thing as
Nailed
well.
It. Thank you.
Terry and Steve had a great time on their... Terry and Steve had a great time on their honeymoon.
Oh, that was better.
And they filmed a lot of their shenanigans.
Oh, did they?
Oh, Steve's park.
Oh. They filmed their honeymoon shenanigans.
Their honeymoon Dave. Shenanigans.
Terry, don't come in. Don't come in here.
What a way to find out.
I thought
out.
You were taking a long walk.
That's why you shouldn't get engaged so early.
Yeah, you got to figure these things out about someone first.
You've got to iron out those
creases. When you think
creases.
You know, but you don't know everything.
Does he fuck crocodiles? You got to find out.
Where did they go on their honeymoon?
They went out and about and... no questions, please,
I love
Dave.
What source on the internet says Steve and Terry had a great time on their honeymoon?
Their honeymoon shenanigans were a little different to most.
Oh, I bet they were.
On their honeymoon, they got up to a little bit of old-fashioned crocodile hunting.
Oh.
If you know what I mean, I've written here. And,
but no, please,
I think
please,
you do.
Please
I just
explain.
Mean, yeah, just going out and hunting crocodiles.
So he's left his job as a crocodile hunter to go on holiday as a crocodile hunter. This guy's crazy.
Yeah, I really like this. I've read a bunch of the... There's an article on the Encyclopedia Britannica. It's not hugely in-depth, but this line I feel like was very insightful about...
the honeymoon?
About the honeymoon and them recording the stuff there. It said, this is from the Encyclopedia Britannica, so it's obviously a good source. Irwin recorded some of his exploits on tape using a video camera mounted on a tripod. That was about 10% of the whole page about Steve Irwin's life. Was mentioning that the camera was mounted on a tripod. Oh, cool. Thank you, Encyclopedia Britannica. Back to Wikipedia I go.
It's one of the few things that set him apart as a crocodile hunter. He thought to use a tripod.
Yeah, yeah.
Every other crocodile hunter just had it on the floor and was just filming the ground. And you just hear a guy going, oh, I've got him! I've got him by the neck! Yeah! All right! And then they come back and it's really worthless footage. It's just the sand.
Yeah.
You put that on a tripod, you're going to get, I imagine, offers from the Discovery Channel pretty quick.
You are not far off.
You are not with it.
I am not right.
You're not okay.
No, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God. The Britannica did go on to say that Steve was hired as a consultant for a television commercial not long after this, and he showed some of the tapes.
He showed the commercial people how to put a camera on top of a tripod.
It blew their minds.
They were very impressed.
Do you remember in 1992 when ads in Australia started to be visible?
Yeah. Well, that was just the ground.
That was him. He did that.
That was him. Yeah, thanks, yeah. Steve.
He was hired as a consultant on a television commercial, and he showed some of the tapes to a producer at Australia's Channel 10 network in Australia. And they immediately suggested turning them into a documentary.
Pause for effect.
hold for applause, mentioned the word documentary, they're going to lose their minds.
The result of which was The Crocodile Hunter.
Oh!
Which first aired in Australia in 1992. Mm-hmm. It's like his documentary show.
And did they use the footage from the
honeymoon? That year might not be right. I'm not sure about that year. It aired on TV, though.
Right. Good. And but did they use the footage that he'd already shot, or did they refilm it?
No,
all?
it was including, yeah, some of the honeymoon.
Some of the bedroom footage.
Some of the honeymoon
It's
scenes.
A great show, but we've only got 5 out of 6 episodes. We just need another half an hour of footage. Don't worry. Terry and I have got this. Submit a personal tape. The 6th episode, number 6, is very different from the first 5. No crocodile hunting at all.
Just crocodile burning.
Boning.
It was a success, hey?
The boning?
Yes. Yeah. He aborted that sentence. It was a success sentence. Oh boy. It was a success which led to further documentaries being made. And eventually a series being commissioned. And 4 years later, in 1996, the show was picked up by the Animal Planet Channel of the Discovery Network in the United States of America.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Which is called the Big Time somewhere. And that's when things really started to take off for the Crocodile Hunter. Is anyone around in the 90s here? Did you?
Hang on a sec. Yeah, I reckon they all were, yeah.
No, it's up. But does anyone remember? I don't remember him in the early to mid-90s at all. Does anyone remember? He didn't exist here, really.
You were busy, you know, being 112.
That's true. I mean, obviously I had things to do.
I don't know what else you were doing.
But I just don't remember him being around at all. Anyway, anyone? No, cool.
Is it Wayne?
I think he was a lot bigger. Like, he was bigger in America than he was in Australia for a long time.
Just like Nick Cave. Well, not America, but the UK.
So that wasn't relatable at all.
Look, sometimes a thought pops into your mind, and then you say it out loud.
And I'm crashing my car.
But bigger. What I'm trying to say is bigger overseas. Much like Vegemite, no.
Much like this podcast.
Actually true.
At its peak, Steve Irwin's TV shows were shown in more than 100 countries.
Name them.
Guam, Puerto Rico, etc.
None of those are countries. No.
Fuck. Oh, didn't you say territories of America?
Yeah. Cool.
Some sources actually said more than 200 countries. Are there even that many countries, Dave?
Yes, there are.
Okay, good.
It's most of them.
Okay, yeah, so it was big. Real big. Audiences were in the multi-millions, which is a lot of millions. And people really loved watching Irwin's dangerous encounters with snakes, spiders, lizards, and crocodiles, from the title of his show. And over his career, he was bitten many times, often on camera. I don't know if you've seen any of these. One of the ones that I watched, which is really great, which I'll post during the week. It was so much fun. There's this video when he was on an Australian kids TV show. The snake's like wrapped around his neck, and leading up to the bite, this is what he was saying, right? It's so fun. He goes, "I'm not scaring him, so he won't bite, and he hasn't got venom, and that's the python." Like, almost gibberish, but it's... It was just like all these fragmented sentences. So much fun. I got to start from the beginning. "I'm not scaring him, so he won't bite me, and he hasn't got venom, and... That's the python, but it's very difficult in from a distance to tell a python from we might have to cut it. It's biting my neck. I'm serious." But it was like a monotone, like he was so chilled out about it, but he's like, we might have to cut here. It's biting me now. It was so good. I gotta.
We might have to cut. I can't reach the tripod.
Yeah, that's the best thing about him. He did a lot of good things in the community as well. But fuck, that was funny. Irwin nearly always got about in his trademark khaki shorts and shirt. You probably know that sort of his classic outfit. And
his trademark khaki.
Khaki. How do you? Is that not right?
Khaki.
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 Barbados.
Steve, what are you going to wear today? My khaki shorts and my matching khaki shirt. We might have to cut. It's a little too tight. It's taking out the circulation to my neck.
So that was kind of like that was what he became famous for in a lot of ways. Was his apart from his attitude and just like his love of the dangerous.
Oh, come on!
I can't even imagine. I can't even think of a time I ever saw Steve Irwin outside of the khaki.
I know. Now I'm imagining him wearing a suit, and it's very funny.
It's still khaki.
I wish you could all come with me to where I am in my head, but it's very good. It looks like he's going to court.
He's been sued by a snake.
And the snake is wearing a tie. Because he went to a subsidiary of the management school for crocodiles.
In some way, a snake is all neck. Please do go on, Matt.
Absolutely.
You broke the tech guy. Hey, Webby. Remember the time he said snakes were all neck? He's
nah,
dead
he's
now.
Done. He's done.
So if oh we my God, he's having an asthma problem. I'm so sorry. It's not good.
Him and his khakis became so entrenched in popular culture, and he started turning up on all sorts of TV shows. Do you remember him on any?
Yeah, pictures? Like late night, like.
Yeah, he
one
was.
Of,
on,
I don't know.
He appeared in heaps of times on Leno's show, on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, like multiple times. Also on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. He was on The Oprah Winfrey Show. He was on Rove Live.
You get a snake! You get a snake! Everybody gets a snake! It's my Oprah impression.
It's pretty damn good.
Thank
pretty
you.
Damn good.
Now, what's your Rove Live?
So
say hi to your snake's mum for me. All neck. Which is funny when he says it, isn't it? He was also on Wiggly Safari, which was a Wiggles special. Like he was on a whole episode. As himself.
Get out of town.
No shitting ya.
He's jumping on Dorothy's back. I got her! I fucking got her! Tries to put
Dorothy.
Her in a zoo.
Look at Matt's face.
It'd be funny, wouldn't
hey,
it?
Hey, it's
funny.
Okay.
How dare you? This is a serious topic about an Australian hero.
Sorry.
You've started to get a little too silly there. I'm sorry, everybody. You had to see that. So, we did a Wiggles topic in the past, right? So he's connected to a few of them. He's also connected to The Simpsons. They parodied him... And an episode when they had a little snippet of a show called The Gator Beta. And he just got eaten alive. And Bart was disappointed that he...
Sounds like he's wanking off alligators.
Gator Beta.
And what? Oh, beta, like yeah, masturbator.
Alligator masturbator.
You've had to do a fair bit of work there.
Well, so does the Gator Beta. Yeah.
It takes a long time.
He was also parodied on South Park. They had Irwin jumping on Crocs and putting his thumb up their butts.
Yeah. Yeah,
saying this is the only way, this will really piss him off. And this is the only way you can really learn about a crocodile is when they're pissed off. So it's a pretty fun parody. He's putting his thumb up their butts, you see. Which is a lot, which seems, you know, I'm into that as an idea. As an idea,
stop
obviously.
Stop talking.
I will not.
I'm just really distracted by these two rows of chairs and that they're, like, that one in particular is, like, Jess length. And I could just have a little lie down.
Do it. That cord's got length.
Anyway, do go on.
That cord's all neck.
Yay! He did it.
It's a little like a joke, isn't it? He was also seen on the big screen with a cameo as himself in Eddie Murphy's Dr. Dolittle 2. Oh. Familiar with that one?
Yeah, Dr. Dolittle 2. This time it's personal.
I don't know if it made it.
Dr. Dolittle 2, Back in the Habit.
What a crossover that would be.
Back in the Habit is my go-to for any sequel.
It's the best sequel.
I saw Trainspotting 2 the other day and I was like, Trainspotting 2, Back in the Habit.
Oh, yeah, that works.
Ah, it does work.
That's very
where that
good.
Dave's trying to do drugs.
Oh, no.
He's giving himself a wrist.
What I'm doing there is I'm tying a belt around my upper arm and then I'm tapping my lower arm to make my vein pop here. I've done heroin many times. Please.
You do have the physique of a heroin man.
It's heroin chic, all right?
Also, we haven't mentioned this today, but you love Hitler.
I do not. That is not true.
It's funny that we hadn't mentioned it yet.
I know.
How did we get this far in?
I was having a great time until then.
He was also, the year after that, in 2002, he was in his own feature film. Do you remember this?
Oh, no. Yes. Actually, I do remember. I think I saw that movie. I didn't because I'm cool.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about it and you can tell me what your thoughts on it
were. What was it called?
It was called The Crocodile Hunter Collision Course.
Collision Course.
I like an original movie that needs a subtitle like that. Normally.
Yeah. It should have been Crocodile Hunter, Back in the Habit. It works for everything.
Only if he was burning him again. And the film co-starred his wife, Terry. According to IMDb, this is what happened in Collision Course. The crocodile hunter mistakes some CIA agents for poachers. And he sets...
Hang on, sorry.
Hang on, yeah.
Is it not a documentary?
Already no, it's a film.
Sorry, was everyone else under the assumption that it was a document? I didn't think there was a scripted...
No, it's scripted.
It's a spy film.
It's a comedy adventure, I think.
Yeah. But I have questions as to why there'd be CIA agents. Are they in the outback?
Well, look... Uno
I mean, Momento. I saw the movie.
Sorry, I'm really excited now. I just thought it was just a...
We could act it out.
All right.
So the crocodile hunter mistakes some CIA agents for poachers and sets out to stop them from capturing a wily croc, which, unbeknownst to him, has swallowed a tracking drone. So it's... What's the opposite of far-fetched? I think that's... pretty... maybe it was a documentary after all.
What's the opposite of far-fetched?
It's a pretty solid storyline, which probably makes it a bit surprising you guys to find that Metacritic scored it a mediocre...
Metacritic scored it 10-4-66 with one innings remaining. Can Steve Irwin recapture the Ashes?
Scored it 50 out of 100, which is pretty average. Or probably exactly average, I guess.
That's not that bad.
It's not the shittest thing of all time, but it means it's pretty shit, I think. Right? A movie is half good, that's no good.
That's 2.5 stars.
I think it's not bad enough to be good again. You know?
Oh, so you think it's...
That's the sequel.
Right.
Crocodile Hunter, bad enough to be good again. Back in the Habit.
Do you have any idea how well it fared box office-wise?
Fine.
50 out of 100.
Yeah, right. The only stats I got here is 50. So I think that's, out of 100 box offices, it got 50. So that's not too bad.
He doesn't understand how it works.
A lot of ways. That's, I'm pretty happy. 50. Get to raise the bat for meta cricket and little cricket joke there.
Pretty good.
There it is. There's a regret face.
Has it come off my face yet today? Irwin did find himself amidst controversy on a few occasions. He was often criticised, saying that he put entertainment ahead of the animal's welfare, right? Sometimes, I think that's kind of what the South Park parody was saying.
Oh, putting his thumb up their butts.
Yeah, basically saying,
Maybe they like it.
No, I love these crocodiles. That's why I'm wrestling them when they're just happily swimming around in their, their habitat. Because I love them.
It does seem a bit unnecessary. Did he have an argument to why he can wrestle a croc?
Yeah, because he loves them.
Oh, right. Ah, checked out.
Yeah. And they did strenuously deny it, you know, whenever they talked about it. Like, no,
I've never wrestled a croc in my life.
So I love them and I just want to get to know them. These are, I'm learning, I'm helping educate people.
But have you jumped on a person in the street? Have you jumped on a person in the street and said,
as I often do,
I just want to get to know them? Yeah. You're going to jail.
Not if you give the I'm just getting to know them argument. I've seen that stack up in court.
Have you stacked that up in court?
I have, yeah. I've stacked that right up. Right. In 2004 was when came the most publicised controversy. That was when he was photographed feeding a crocodile with his baby son Bob in his arms.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Some were shocked by the images and accused Steve of child endangerment. But he was like, nah, man, it's cool, right?
That's as long as he doesn't mix up which hands.
Yeah. Baby here, meat here. Oh, hang on.
Oh, no.
Oh, Bob?
I'm going to kiss my little baby Bob, the red steak. Oh, it took him days to realise.
he's in a bit of steak in a high chair. Yeah.
Jeez, Bob's lost his appetite.
Yeah. Hasn't eaten in days.
Also, Bob is not a good baby name, though. Bob. Anybody a baby called Bob here?
Is anybody... same guy.
I love you. The rest of you can fuck off. Nah, you're great. Please stay forever.
It's just you and Bob. Son of Bob. Hello, Bob. Please do go
on. Erwin wasn't charged over the incident.
What charge?
Some people thought he should be, and apparently laws in Queensland were changed. To say
you can't
that
feed
you
a crocodile with a baby in one
hand. You can't feed a crocodile. Yeah, that's explicit now in the law. You can't. Apparently you can't have babies right next to crocodiles anymore.
That is why...
That is a nanny state. You thought we were in a nanny state.
I tell you what, back in our day, you could... I mean, geez Louise.
Well, back in my day...
Your day.
We used to feed our babies to crocodiles. And that's how they'd learn. The ones that survived got to put their thumb up their butts. And that is...
Wait.
That's what I called primary school.
Their own butts? Who's learning there?
That was the lesson, and they had to figure it out for themselves. Nobody spoon feeding back in my day.
No, fair enough. I'll get there. Hang on. Okay, so the baby gets fed to the crocodile. Okay, and then maybe the crocodile's learning that it's gristly?
Yeah, their butts baby. Are gristly? I don't look. I was looking at what's next, and I've missed what you were doing there. I didn't mention he had a couple of kids somewhere along the line.
Yes.
Bob was one of them, and also another one named Bindi.
Yeah, who's on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
And I wanna like her, but I fucking don't.
Yeah.
Is there something, like, she's like 18, right? There's something so patronising about that bitch. Like, go on her Instagram. Fuck me. Like, go on her Instagram and it's, hi, everyone. I'm like, what are you hiding, Bindi?
Let the hate out. Let
I
it
don't
out.
Like her. I want to like her. Here's the thing, guys. I want to like Bindi Erwin. Because I know it's probably the right thing to do for our nation. You know, she goes and she goes, hey, I'll just be one sec. Am I too loud now because I'm standing in front of Matt? You're not checking the Saints, you fuckhead. I was doing an impassioned speech about Bindi Erwin and Matt zoned out to check the footy scores again.
Saints are up.
Great. Anyway, I just don't like her. But you know what else I don't like? This is our good friend Kieran here. Yeah, we met Kieran in Stratford, didn't we, Matt? We did a gig in Stratford. And Matt came out and chatted to some people after the show, and then he came back to me. He's like, Jess, come on, you got to go meet someone. Someone here listens to the podcast. And I was like, oh, awesome. And we're chatting away to Kieran. Lovely dude.
Such real lovely a nice guy. I like him a lot. Such I got nice no guy. Problem with him or anything
That's
about
interesting.
Him.
Neither did I. And then we say, so what do you do up here, Kieran? Kieran, what do you do for a living?
I'm an accountant.
Oh, no.
I still love you, Kieran. Kieran bought me beers, so love him a
Can't
lot.
Can't buy my love, Kieran. Or Bindi Erwin. She's just so patronising. Like, don't talk down to me. I'm older than you. Respect me. Fuck off, Bindi. Go dance, you little bitch. That was too far. Yeah, that was too far. Sorry.
I felt a little
don't
strong.
Don't call her a bitch. But like, oh, and then she was talking about her boyfriend. Like, oh, I love him so much. You don't know what love is. You're a child. It'll end.
No, that's pretty. That is true. That's Jess's regret face.
Hey guys, you want to come to my comedy festival show this evening? I got some opinions.
You've just seen half of it anyway, so I wouldn't pay. Yeah. I wouldn't pay.
My show's called Fuck You, Bindi Irwin.
Fuck you, Bindi!
And I invited her to come and she's not coming. And I was like, yeah, typical. I'm busy. Fuck off. And also, Bob.
Oh, no. Do not lay a finger on Bob.
He's better now, but the bowl cut went for way too long. Like, that's fine. What age is a bowl cut okay till? Like, 5, maybe? At maximum. I know you're shaking your head, I agree. But like, but at maximum, maybe 4 or 5. But he had it till he was like 106. Like, not okay.
That's not on him though, is it? You hate his mum.
Yeah, no, the bowl cut was definitely on him.
Oh, no, I don't like Terry either. I don't like the Irwins.
Don't worry, Jess.
Well, there's something coming up you're going to really enjoy.
Don't worry. I've got a good feeling about this story.
All right, hit me. Matt, do go on. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, Kieran, but also not sorry. You know what you did.
A couple of years later, uh-huh. after that, the child feeding incident, yep. on September the 4th, 2006, Jess, get ready.
I really don't know how to react now.
Irwin was filming a program off the coast of Port Douglas in Queensland, Australia.
Sounds like any other day.
Snorkel. Port Douglas, beautiful.
He was snorkeling.
Oh, lovely.
Near a stingray.
Oh, his favourite.
This got fucked.
But if you think about a stingray, if the big bit's the head, the rest of it, it's kind of all neck. Yeah. Huh?
So he was snorkeling, having a good time, filming a show.
He's on the show, lovely.
All of a sudden,
doing
what he loves. He was struck in the chest by the stingray's barb.
A stingray's just saying hello.
It hit him in the heart.
These guys all were previously under the impression that Jess was kind of nice. Were
no
you?
One,
I don't know.
No one was under the... So hit him. Sadly, I've written here, but obviously not everyone agrees... with that phrasing. Sadly, Steve died of cardiac arrest shortly after aged only 44 years of age.
It's too
aged
young.
44 years of age.
Just to confirm, how old?
44. And I'd just like to say, Jess, if that makes you feel any better, Bindi's dad died when she was young. Does that make you feel...
You piece of shit. You absolute piece of shit. Okay, that's very sad. And obviously, I think now that I think about it, Steve was the only Irwin I did like, and maybe I'm just reacting this way because I miss him. But also, you don't get to be a condescending bitch. I love koalas. And fuck off.
We're going to hear from Bindi shortly. Yeah.
Webby, is that live cross is all set up, I imagine? She has been watching this whole time.
Yeah. Special guest here tonight.
Yeah. I just love this podcast. And you're like, yes.
Oh, please don't like this podcast, Bindi. If she's listening, oh, man.
She's not listening. She's above podcasts.
That's a good point. She is. God bless her. I love you, Bindi. 5,000 people attended his memorial a few weeks later, and an estimated 300 million more around the world tuned into the live television coverage.
That's crazy.
I know where you're going, and I don't...
His young daughter, Bindi, gave a speech which left no dry eyes in the house.
Oh, it sucked so much. It sucked.
Matt, are you going to...
She said...
Daddy.
This is... Oh, boy. That is...
That's how it started.
I'm just going to read a short part of it here. I have the best daddy in the world, and I will miss him every day. This is at a dad's funeral.
Jess is leaving.
When I see a crocodile, I will always think of him and know that Daddy made this zoo so everyone could come and learn to love all the animals. Russell Crowe noted from America that Irwin had been headline news all week on CNN, saying, this is a quote from Russell, "There are not many zookeepers who would command that sort of attention," which I think Rusty was spot on with there. What an interesting point. That went into the memorial as well.
Did he go on to list all the other zookeepers that would have garnered the attention?
Russell Crowe, who's now or was dating Terry Irwin. Oh, what a nice guy. What? Oh, so many zookeepers. Yeah, I'm going to fuck your wife.
Is this true?
Oh, they've denied. And that's more than 10 years since he passed.
Look, I have regrets.
I mean, surely eventually you're allowed to move on, Jess.
Not to Russell Crowe.
Not to Russell Crowe.
No one is allowed.
But Russell Crowe.
No one.
At the memorial, this is quite a nice, touching tribute, I thought. The zoo workers laid their floral tributes on the ground to spell out the word crikey. Eh? Oh.
Nah, that's all right.
I don't know if everyone, the mic picked that up in the room, but geez, there was a lot of tears.
We couldn't hear the tears at home.
November 15 has been designated Steve Irwin Day, an international tribute held annually in recognition of his life and work. Every year, November 15.
Why November 15?
Bloody good question, that. Fun facts.
Are we going to end with some fun facts?
We're going to end with some quick fun facts. I didn't find these myself. I found this website called 10factsabout.com. And the headline for this one is 10 fun facts about Steve Irwin.
How many of them are actually fun?
I haven't read them yet. Let's find out.
You're going to do all 10?
We'll see how they go, and probably not. Fact number one.
Yep.
Steve Irwin, who was also known as the Crocodile Hunter, was a wildlife expert ironically killed by a stingray.
That's fun.
That's not fun, and we've already heard that over the last 50 minutes.
Is it ironic that he was killed by a stingray as the Crocodile Hunter?
No, it's not all that ironic. But that person obviously doesn't have a grasp.
Fact number two.
Irony.
If he got hit by a car, isn't it ironic that he died after being hit by a car, even though he's the Crocodile Hunter?
That is ironic.
Oh, yes, it is.
The CEO of RSPCA called Irwin the modern-day Noah.
Okay, what the fuck?
A bit of fun.
The CEO.
Oh, here's a fun one.
Oh, finally.
At the time of his death, he was struck several hundred times in the chest by the tail of a stingray. He died at the scene.
What a fun
fact. Now we're getting fun.
Several.
I don't think it's going to get any more fun than that. Oh, no. Well, I mean, this is fun. They're all fun. This one's fun. Irwin's funeral ceremony and burial was in Australia Zoo and not accessible to the public. Oh my God, that is fun. I love access facts.
Yes, but could the public get in? That's what I want to know. Are you giving up on the fun facts? Probably a good call.
I think so. Yeah, we're almost out of time, actually.
We are.
Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Stewart, I'm Steve Irwin. Well, we've all learned a lot today. Especially about Jess's hatred for a young...
Holy moly.
Such a wanker.
A young...
Girls can be wankers, right?
Well-meaning 18-year-old.
Yes, not well... there's something there. Mark my words. Eventually, it's going to come out that she was on crack this whole time.
Oh, we'll... all of a sudden there's an issue with crack. You're a real piece of work, mate. I'm so sorry.
Anyway...
That is the end of the show. Thank you so much for coming out today. Now, this is our second last one. We've got our final podcast here next week.
And we've got a special guest coming. There's going to be four of us squeezing onto the little stage.
Chair. It's going to be very tight.
Yeah.
We've got to get a fourth chair.
I'll just go amongst the people again. It's fine.
You'll just go away. Guys, thank you so much for coming out. Give yourselves a big round of applause for coming out. Support the show live.
Thanks so much, everybody.
We do appreciate it. It's so great to see you here. But until next week, we will say goodbye.
Later.
Thank you.
Well, wasn't that a bit of fun, hey? Just a little bit of fun there on the podcast live. We love doing it in front of you guys. If you're not from Melbourne, you haven't had a chance to check it out, We're keen to get around and do it elsewhere, so let us know if you are outside of Melbourne, where you are, and if you reckon that it'd be worthwhile us coming and doing it live for you. Maybe, maybe not. Tell me to. You can also tell me if your town would definitely not want us to come. Also, that would be handy knowledge to have as well. We'll put a line through your town or city. Obviously, we're coming for Ohio at some point soon, but we want to get around Australia and, you know, around the world, maybe into space, whatever. Like, we're open to options. Thanks for listening. Before we go, I should always thank the Patreon sponsors. We like to thank a few of our special supporters this week. Dave obviously put a bit of work into him last week. I just listened to that earlier, and he looked up a dictionary and stuff. I'm just going to open up the page now and read them straight off the thing and see if I can... Anyway, how about this? I'd love to... big thanks to Jordan Theobald. Obviously, Jordan being a basketballer, he started his career out at North Carolina. I don't know if anyone knows that fact. That's one of the great facts I have about Jordan. Someone did send through a few other facts about North Carolina, and I can't remember them. Not relevant to Jordan Theobald here anyway. Let me just click on him, see if I can find out whereabouts he's from. Oh, he's an Australian. Anyway, he's from New South Wales. Good on you, Jordan. We should come up and visit you. I think Sydney seems realistic if that's anywhere near you. I'd also love to thank Jordan Theobald again, because I don't know if I quite hit that hard enough. You're a real good guy, Jordan, and I got a picture in my mind of being, you're the classic bronzed Aussie, I reckon. You got the long flowing hair, you surf in the morning, you catch crocodiles at night, and in between, you just, buddy, be nice to people. I don't know if that's a classic Australian thing, but that's what makes you different. That sets you apart from your neighbours, those arseholes down the road. Yeah. I'd also love to thank Brian Dillon. Bob Dillon actually may be related to you. Probably not, because it's entirely different spelling, and I don't think that's his real name. But he just won a Nobel Prize for literature, I think. And I think in a similar way, Brian Dillon, you are also a wordsmith. You're an Irishman, right? But you'd spell your name the English way, Brian with an I, which I don't like. No, I do like it because you've done it. You've turned me around. I'm traditionally a Brian with a Y kind of guy, but you've brought me back. Brian with an I is my new preferred spelling of Brian. You are a classic Irishman, I'd say, which is, you surf in the mornings, you catch crocs at night, and in between, you're just a bloody nice guy. Well done. I appreciate your work. I don't know if you'd believe this, but I'm nearly entirely made up of Irish heritage, which I think everyone says. I met a few Irish people in my backpacking days, and they found that very annoying when people would tell them that they had Irish heritage. They're like, yeah, everyone fucking does, you all right? Like, oh, okay, cool. Got shut down. Thought I was just trying to connect. But anyway, you know, they weren't into it, and that's fine. And finally, I'd love to thank... Sorry, Brian. That felt negative. I love your work, Brian. You are a gun in all the good ways. And finally, I'd love to thank Scott Ho. He's a Californian. I'd love to be in California right now. In my head, that is always sunshiny. It's a sunshiny place, and it's where the OC is from. It's where Californication is from. I think that one's pretty clear. And all those great shows as well. There's always sun shining in California. Scott Ho, classic guy. You know what I reckon he gets up to? He catches crocodiles in the morning. He's a bit of a wildcat like that, and he surfs at night. He doesn't care about being able to see the waves and that sort of stuff. A lot of people say it's dangerous to surf at night, but not Scott Ho. He is a mad dog. Scott Howe, mad dog and a wildcat. He loves and hates himself, but he bloody does it in all the right ways. Thanks so much, Scott. What a mess that was, and I think you would expect nothing less from me. Just wrapping up, I'd love for you guys to get in touch. Let us know if you want us to do anything different, anything the same. Just, I mean, we're not necessarily going to take it on board, but we'll definitely listen to you. If you want to get in contact, it's dogoonpod@gmail.com, or it's @dogoonpod for Twitter. I think Facebook's the same, dogoonpod. And what's the other one? Instagram. Also Do Go On Pod, which makes it pretty straightforward for you guys, I reckon. And I don't think you need it to be straightforward. I reckon you guys are very intelligent and could figure out a more complex system, but it's more for us and, you know, just to streamline things. So don't take any offense, please, because none was intended. We definitely believe you would be up to a more complex sort of moniker than that. But what am I saying? For fuck's sake. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Please stay in touch. One more live show and then we're back to studio time, which is... I'm looking forward to them and also going to miss the live audiences because it's been so fun to miss you. It's fun to miss you, and it was fun also to meet you, particularly Joe Boyd, who kept me company through the last quarter yesterday, Collingwood supporter, and she stood there with me as we drank beers and watched the Saints get up in a close encounter. 14 points, go Saints. Well done, team. Anyway, that's all, and... Laters.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.